There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
We'll circle back to the Texans in just a little bit, but a quick update on the Astros, because there could be things popping here pretty soon with free agency in baseball. Now, I know free agency in baseball can drag on literally for months for some people.
You never know, and you never can predict it.
You
there's
can't.
Years where it doesn't really get started until January.
Right.
And there's other years where it starts popping off right quick.
Do you think Bregman is a guy that gets scooped up quick, or is he a guy that's sitting around waiting for a deal that he is hoping, you know, is sitting around waiting for the 7-year, 8-year deal that never comes knocking on his door?
I think Bregman strikes me as the kind of person who's perfectly content to sit and wait and see what transpires, but he's also not going to hesitate to jump on a deal that he feels good about.
Yeah.
Like, if I just from watching the way Alex Bregman operates over the years, I think he's probably got a number in his head and a contract that he likes, and maybe a list of teams that he thinks best suit him. I would imagine for Bregman, he's got a spreadsheet full of like different coaching staffs that he likes, supporting casts, everything else like that. And then he's got a number in his mind. And if it shows up, he's not going to be, I don't think he's going to be obsessed with being the highest paid player, this, that, or anything else like that. And I really think there's probably a good chance that he signed somewhere early, because if there's one team out there that can meet those parameters, he's not going to like wait for Scott Boras to extract maximum value out of it.
Yeah, the longer it goes, the better it is for the Astros if you want to keep him, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, like the longer it goes, the less it means there's the deal out there that he's hoping to get.
Dallas Keuchel, who I believe was represented by Scott Boras at the time, right?
You're right.
When he was a free agent
the first
time, he said, well, he didn't sign until June.
Till June,
it?
Yeah.
June. I think that if Bregman got into that type of a situation, now Keuchel was up against a whole lot of other factors. The fact that they kind of changed the strike zone and they screwed Keuchel when they started calling the strike zone higher.
He did. Like where Keuchel, did. He lived,
Keuchel
in that
lived
lower
at
portion.
The bottom of the strike zone, and it just changed everything. So like Bregman doesn't have that to contend with. But if it was getting up towards the beginning of the regular season and Alex Bregman wasn't signed, I don't think his ego would hold him back from coming back to the Astros. So maybe I'm a little bit naive in that, but I feel like Bregman in a lot of ways is the ultimate can separate emotion from the business side of it, and he would see it for what it was okay, I'm coming back to a place that I'd like, that I've got great memories of, and that it, you know, I've there's a lot of other things above and beyond the money that I like about here, and I think he would re-sign for maybe less than he was hoping.
Yeah, we'll see.
And now it would probably be a shorter-term deal. It would be like a Correa-style type of thing with Minnesota.
Okay, now that's interesting. Well,
with options or something.
Let's put a pin in that for one second. Here is Dana Brown. And he was asked, what do you think the chances are Bregman's coming back?
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussions with Scott Boras, multiple conversations. So we hope that they've been productive, and we're hoping that some good things happen.
Do you feel like you have a decent chance?
I think we have a really good chance.
All right, so
I think a lot of people, might not have heard that. He says at the end, we feel we have a really good chance of retaining him.
Yep. So I don't know that I agree with that. As far as the – it's interesting. So if this thing drags on, You know, so, and Bregman's still sitting there. I don't think he will be. I think he's going to get signed pretty quickly. But if it drags on, and that, as you said, that happened with Correa the first time he hit free agency. So he ends up signing a three-year deal in Minnesota for $100 million. And he's got an opt-out after each season. And he opted out after that first season in Minnesota. It was and the Astros were never going to do a deal like that at that time. We're never going to do a deal like that with Correa. They just said, well, let's bring Jeremy Peña up. We don't want the uncertainty. We don't want the player to have all the clout as to who stays and who, you know, does he stay or does he go? Carlos had all the say in that with Minnesota. And eventually goes back to Minnesota on a longer-term deal after a lot of things. But specific to Bregman, it was funny. I saw another interview with Dana Brown online yesterday where he talked about a lot of the same things he did with, I think it was Ari Alexander's Twitter feed that we got this audio from that we just played. But I saw an interview he did on MLB Network, and they asked him, whoever was interviewing him, asked him about, would you guys be open to things like opt-outs, you know, all the things the Astros haven't normally done. They asked Dana that, and he hemmed and hawed a little bit and kind of gave lip service to, you know, entertaining the possibility of doing things to, you know, he was not in a, we'll do whatever it takes to keep Alex Bregman mode. Let me just put it that way.
I think this is where the value of Scott Boras lies. I think sometimes people overly simplify it and say, well, Scott Boras just does a great job of getting guys the absolute most money. I think the value of a good agent in pro sports is more about their ability to read the market.
Yeah.
And you go back to the Dallas Keuchel situation. Dallas Keuchel was represented by Scott Boras in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that Boras couldn't go out and get him a deal. Keuchel turned down deals that Boras recommended he should take.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, like Boras has a good, so Boras knew what the market was for Dallas Keuchel that year, and it, that perhaps Dallas Keuchel just didn't want to accept it. Where with Bregman, what I would hope is, all right, because Boras has his fingers in everybody's pie, he's got a good feel for what Bregman can really get. And then doing so in good faith, working with the Astros, they might be able to figure out a way to work around some of those other issues that might set Bregman's mind at ease or make it feel like, okay, that's out there and that's we can compete with other teams. I actually feel more optimistic about Bregman having Boras as his agent than if it was somebody else right now.
That's interesting.
In terms of the feasibility of re-signing him.
Yeah. Here's one more from Dana Brown. This is interesting because this question was about both Jake Meyers and Chaz McCormick. Are you going to tender offers to both guys? Are you going to offer Chaz McCormick and Jake Meyers? The entire answer here, it's almost as if Jake Meyers wasn't even mentioned in the question. It's all
you mentioned Meyers and McCormick, so you anticipate tendering those guys, both those guys' contract.
Yeah, I mean, look, McCormick had a down year. You know, McCormick is a good player. We expect him to come back and at least, you know, get to like a 750 OPS or better. The year before, he was over an 800 OPS with over 20 home runs. And, of course, the defense is really good. So, you know, we have to check that one off as a bad year. It was a down year. And hopefully we can get him to bounce back because we, you know, we really need him. And then maybe we can get him, you know, some help where he doesn't have to face, you know, all of the right-handers as much. I mean, that could be productive by getting a left-handed hitting outfielder that could really step in and do a good job. So those kind of things we're trying to do to improve this club and maybe at certain points do some platoon, you know, particularly if he's struggling. But ultimately, you know, we're just trying to make certain moves to increase, you know, more production in the offense.
Now, admittedly, I don't know if there was a follow-up question about Jake Meyers. But what about Jake Meyers, who I just asked about? I just know that Dana Brown went on for over a minute about Chaz McCormick and being asked the question about both Jake Meyers and Chaz McCormick.
I think the thing about Jake Meyers is, okay, you bring up, you know, you can bring up past seasons where Chaz McCormick was a different player than he was this year.
Yeah.
With Jake Meyers, the only time he finished with an OPS above 678 was in his rookie year in 2021, but he only played 49 games.
Yeah.
So if I take his first two seasons where he played a total of 101 games, yeah, and like let's call that one season.
Okay.
And then you look at the second and then, you know, 2023 and 2024. Yeah. In that combined first 2 years, he had a 671 OPS. In 2023, he had a 678 OPS. In 2024, 646 OPS.
And he strikes out a ton. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, there's just been enough. There's no back of the baseball card that makes you feel good about Jake Myers.
I'm not a Jake Myers fan, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, but the defense, and he's a finalist for a gold glove. I get it. He covers a lot of ground out there. He's got a minus arm. Like, he doesn't have a good arm in the outfield. Covers a ton of ground. He's definitely good for the web gem catches for sure. You know, it's funny, Seth. When Jake Myers, whose bat is a big time minus bat, as you just outlined, it's kind of funny sometimes. Jake Myers, it's a little bit like Dan Orlovsky with Anthony Richardson. Like, look, see, he can make that throw right there. Look.
Yeah.
Jake Myers will make this circus catch and it'll be like, that's why he's on this team. That's why he's your starting center fielder. I'm like, oh, you, no kidding. Not the 648 OPS, I guess, huh? Or, you know, or the all the plays where he fields the ball in the outfield and he's got to throw a missile to third base and the thing dribbles in there. Like, I get it. Like, Jake Myers is a really good athlete in the outfield there. He's not a good major league hitter. Like, Chaz at least has shown the potential consistently over an extended period of time of being a good major league hitter. And they're just they're hoping he gets it back.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yeah. I mean, if Myers could simply throw the ball, then it changes a lot. You look at, like, his range is in the 97th percentile.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's why he's a finalist for the Gold Glove. That's the reason.
Right. It's just crazy. It's nuts. He's just a nothing at the plate, though. And he undoes a little bit of his awesome defensive play with just not having a good arm whatsoever.
Yeah.
Even as a defensive specialist, you don't feel like the guy in a one-run game that, okay, great, he's going to hoover up some stuff out there. But like if things get dicey, what's he do with the ball after he catches it on the bounce?
Yeah, it's just, man, you listen to Dana Brown talk about this offseason, and there's nothing splashy coming down the pipe this year. You know, there's no Josh Hader out of nowhere. There's no Jose Abreu. There's, like, when he's talking about a left-handed bat to pair with Chaz in the outfield, like, it's going to be some cheapo one-year veteran bat, you know, like, it's, if they bring somebody in, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, he was
talking
about first base, like upgrading at first base, and I'm seeing quotes about Zach DiCenzo, you know, who was on the team last. Like, I'm not afraid of playing these young guys. I'm like, okay. I mean, that's cool and all, but I don't know that they're good.
If we took the emotional barometer of the Houston fan base on the three major teams right now, there have been some wild swings and fluctuations over the last year.
Yeah.
I think the Astros, man, this is as uneasy as I've felt about the Astros in a long time, especially when it looks like it might be time to rip the Band-Aid off and have a bit of a reset year or two here.
Yeah.
The Rockets, optimism with question marks, obviously, but you've got a young core that you can build around and you're eager to see, okay, which version of the Rockets ends up showing up. And then I don't even know what – I don't know where the Texans are right now emotionally.
I feel like
there's just – this is the one where you're still trying to process exactly what the hell's going on with the Texans.
It's tough, too, because it's in season and there's, yeah. You know, there's the ebbs and flows with each week and the games and things like that. The Rockets are still so early and the Astros are in the offseason.
The first month of the NBA season feels like an extended preseason.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yep. I'll say this: I'm confident in all three GMs in this city. Like I have confidence in Dana. But like Dana Brown's moves he made last year, he was widely criticized for the Kikuchi move, and that wound up being a really good move. And some of the other little moves he made on the margins, whether it was bringing guys in or recommending Ronel Blanco be a starter, like all those, like Dana, I thought did a good job last year, considering some of the cleanup that he was doing with the Abreu situation that wasn't his doing. I think Raphael Stone's done a nice job of doing exactly what he's been asked to do, which is build a nice young core, position yourself to go make a big, huge move at some point. And I think for all the criticism Nick Caserio is getting today for not making a trade, it's hard to say Nick hasn't done a good job as the general manager of this football team, you know?
Do you think that the Astros as an organization have it in them right now to remain steadfast? If they chose to go more of a like a modified reset route, do they have that same ability to be steadfast in the way they operate, the way they did in the early years of Jeff Luhnow?
Yes.
Because with them, with Jeff Luhnow, he obviously wasn't coming off of an incredible playoff streak or anything like that. And people were just kind of emotionally dead about the Astros anyway, whereas this is a different scenario.
I think if they visibly change kind of what their mission and MO is, I think Crane will stick to it. I don't think Crane is somebody who's going to like veer off. And I think Dana Brown would be kind of into it because it would involve bringing a lot of young players in, and that's his forte, you know?
But it's got to take Jim Crane really genuinely trusting in Dana Brown.
For 100%.
You know, do you pivot 18 months into it because you don't like Dana Brown?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, according to one of the outlets that simulates the NFL season and puts the playoff picture together, the season's basically over in the AFC, according to this. Are we buying these percentage chances of making the playoffs, including for your Houston Texans? That is next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.